Welcome back to Brass Stacks. Just want to read this one here before we go back to the phone lines. Mr. Price, there's another subtle problem occurring at the roundabouts. Too many drivers on reaching the roundabout are routinely stopping before proceeding, even though the way is clear. This stop for that few seconds can cause an unnecessary and significant backup if a large number of cars are in train, and too many drivers do this. And we're also getting a whole bunch of responses to what you should really do with young children who get into trouble. But I'll just read this last one related to road markings. I want to know why some drivers don't be careful at the zebra crossing. I was crossing at one this morning and had to jump out of the way. And yes, sometimes I'm in, you know, a few cars back and I see people just bore through, to use the plain language. They simply bore through, you know. They seem not to recognize that this is a zebra crossing and whatnot. Sometimes people don't necessarily see the sign indicating that it's a zebra crossing, but for sure what is happening is that the markings on the roads, they're really faded, and a lot of people are not really seeing them. Anyhow, we go back to the phone lines. Good morning. You are on the air.
Good morning to you, Mr. Price.
How are you doing, Patrick?
I'm good. What about yourself?
I am well, man. How's the weather up by you?
The weather's fine. The weather's fine. Yeah, the wind is a little windy, but I'll make it through the day.
What can we do for you today?
This morning, I called you because that for the last 8 months or thereabout, I campaign on social media as it relates to both the perception of corruption and corruption itself. Mm-hmm. And the reason I called this program this morning is because I want to commend the Prime Minister of this country. Mm-hmm. When she held an audience with her ministers and permanent secretaries and parliamentary secretaries, and I don't know if I should use the term Read the Riot Act, but an act nevertheless was read, because she made it pollutively clear that conventions will not be the way to go, that if they have to legislate, they will, in relation to bringing and harmonizing certain attitudes and principles and the way forward. Now, why I am entirely happy for this, Mr. Price, is for this simple reason. That in the past, accountability stood all alone and made adrift in this country, to the extent that we are now trying to pick up the pieces, and all and sundry has been called on board to participate in the exercise in trying to rescue this country. And that a serious right-thinking government led by the Prime Minister must understand that where we have came from is nowhere where we want to ever be again. We must set our moral compass and all the other compasses to ensure that we never run adrift. So that's why I'm saying this morning, Mr. Price, that I am entirely happy. And I will hope that those members of our team will work together in harmony to bring about the result that the people in this country have long been asking for. Mr. Price, I started a campaign only yesterday afternoon, shortly after the Prime Minister would have held this press briefing. And you would be astonished to know the amount of individuals who embrace this move wholeheartedly, Mr. Price, to the extent that they are overwhelmed in this approach, especially when the Prime Minister made the point that all of government business must be done on government's platform, regardless of technologically or otherwise. Must be done, emails and so on. Mr. Price, this is a step in the right direction. It is a step in the right direction. I've campaigned for the past 8 months on this whole nonsense, and I'm happy to see that my efforts has not gone in vain, and that those persons who she now leads will understand that the way for forward and what is required and expected of them by the citizens of this country is to do that which is required of you, that which is upright, and that which is required by not only by law, but by the command of the Prime Minister of this country. Mm-hmm. That's all I want to say. I'm happy that the Prime Minister have gone this direction. There are some other things I understand as supposed to come, but I don't want to speak of the turn. I would let her speak for herself. But I will say this in closing, Mr. Price, that George Mann now happens to be the Minister of the Year. Why I say this? We have the whole back and forth issue of contracts that were signed during and after the calling of the general elections in circumstances where the expiry date for these contracts were not at hand. And persons are now sitting in lawful offices looking down the road at 2023 and 2024 because of contracts that were renewed during the general election. I am saying, Mr. Price, I know that we have to look at it, and I know the AG has promised that he would look at it and ensure that the government moves in the right direction. But I honestly believe that I see them as not have been signed in good faith, and I believe that every single one of them should go home. I do not believe that it is fair for the Prime Minister to now have to come and work with a set of individuals who was seen on political platforms during the general election and only now holding on to a job because somebody found it necessary to renew their contract during a general election. It is not fair to the Prime Minister of this country. And I believe that the people of this country should rally around the Prime Minister, whatever decision she make that entails removing these individuals from their lofty offices, that the people in this country should understand that it has to be the way to go. It cannot be fair and it cannot be right.
All right, sir, thank you for your call. You've certainly struck a chord because you're getting some support here, certainly in the WhatsApp, about what is happening in terms of those appointments that were made. Also, you're getting some support for the fact that what Ms. Motley said yesterday. For those who may think that this is something new and revolutionary, you would always remember that Hillary Clinton got, she was literally prosecuted over the not using the government email to conduct some of her State Department business. And so it was a big deal. And as Ms. Motley correctly said, if there is no public officer with the minister in those talks, who will follow up? So let's just hope that going forward, that the things that she has pointed out are acted upon. Because accountability is one of the critical issues. Transparency and accountability are two of the critical issues that clearly we were lacking. We're suffering from that right now, whether who believes that or not. The evidence is there for all to see. We take a next call. Good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning to you, Mr. Price.
How are you doing, Mark?
I'm quite well this morning. And yourself?
I am well. I am very well.
I need to have a conversation with you. I must tell the last caller that time is longer than twine, and contracts will expire at some time. And people will be positioned when time is due. So it will happen, right? You agree that, Mr. Price?
What I would say to you is that I remember in 2008 when the Democratic Labour Party came to power and Peter Scott and George Edgell were at the rural and urban respectively. And I remember Prime Minister Thompson, David Thompson's response to the whole matter. He fired both of them. And Mr. Edgell ended up taking home over $1 million because of the he wasn't paid his due early on, so the interest added up. So that whatever the same complaint that the Prime Minister Thompson had at the time is rather similar to the complaints being made right now by Ms. Motley. And the thing about it is that it is right across the board. Right across the board, as you are well aware, and those who care to want to know, know. So therefore, the question is, why was it done?
Well, politically appointees, people who are appointed politically, at least should acknowledge the fact that a change must come. In the period of time, I was one of those people that accepted the fact, and I'm saying that the time has come where people understand fully that they'll have to move on. But that's not what I call you about. I call you about something I'm sure is dear to your heart, and it's to deal with the history of politics over the years in Barbados, and the students of politics in Barbados seem to be somewhere along the line, they've been left in a gap over the last couple of years. And I say that to say this, right? Unfortunate, we would not have had any writing scribbles from Harold Hoyt of this election of 2018, which I consider to be one of the greatest elections this country has ever faced. And I think that all of us would know that over the years that Mr. Hoyt has written several document on the significance of people and politics in Barbados over the years. So somewhere along the line, this 2018 election, which would go on to show that the transformation of politics over the years in Barbados has come to a point of transition. I say that to say this. That
Mark, I'm sorry to cross you. I don't understand a word you said there just now, honestly. I'm not trying to negate what you're saying. I'm not quite clear what you mean by what you just said.
What I mean is that over the years, if you look at the elections in Barbados over the years, and you look at the political happenings in Barbados over the years, from as far back as we could remember, remember that Mr. Hoyt, Harold Hoyt...
I'm not talking about the Harold Hoyt thing. I'm talking about you're talking about some transitioning. I'm not quite sure. What are you trying to say? Be plain.
I'm trying to explain to you that somewhere along the line, and I was ahead of you when I said that the students of politics, political history, will be shortchanged due to the fact, you remember I said that earlier? So I think you understand where I'm coming from now. Right. Now, let me proceed on the fact. The true history of politics in Barbados over the years have been documented by people like Harold Hoyt and Glenn Murray at times, right? But what I'm looking at is that somewhere along the line, we have not seen the players, we have not heard about the players over the years who have played a major role in the political life of Barbados as far back as I can remember and as far back as some people can remember. We had names that were thrown at us, and we had names of those persons who sat in politics, the parliament, August Chamber. We never had the names of those people who were instrumental behind the scene of making it possible for those people to get into power. I say that because when you read the history of politics in Barbados, the point, you read that it was those foot soldiers who were responsible for people going up the steps of parliament and not their particular person who went up the steps of parliament. I'm going to say that to say this. A lot of people hear about people like Ernest Dighton Motley, but people have not realized that behind the scene of Ernest Dighton Motley, there were people like Selassie, there were people like George, there were people like Eric Seeley. These were people who were foot soldiers in a campaign and an election for Ernest Dighton Motley. You have people of Pabo. I'm sure that Pabo is a name that rings across the political frontier as far as being an active person involved in politics, campaigning for down to the by-election since Philip, the Chief Justice. Then you go on and you start to look at names of people. And I'm saying this, that none of the historians seem to have written anything about these people who played a major role in the political life for some of these people. You talk about Errol Barr, people like Adams, people like Clarence Ward. All of these people were people behind the scene who made it possible. Mm-hmm. So somewhere along the line, that's why I'm saying to you that the writings, people mm-hmm. seem to have neglected. You know someone saying?
In fact, you call a man named called Clarence Ward, and he was a stalwart. I mean, I remember that man well.
But you know that he was the first ordinary person. Rembauer won in 1966. Rembauer went off to, and I'm saying this because of knowledge of it. Mm-hmm. He was one of the first ordinary people to receive a diplomatic passport because Rembauer took him to for the address at United Nations, okay. And Clarence Ward, who was a foot soldier, mm-hmm. who ended up being a van driver within the, you talk about who was there. And I'm saying these things because mm-hmm. I'm wondering.
No, but I agree with you totally. There are, and I can talk about Clarence Ward and a few others. These people really, they are the ones who make the party what it is. They are the ones who sell the idea of the DLP or the BLP. They're the ones who are up there day in, day out, selling the philosophy of the party. And you're absolutely correct.
Yeah, you know, that's why I say I want to have a conversation with you, because I'm calling on people like yourself. Now that I've done a little bit, but now that we have a vacuum in between here, and I've said, and you heard me say this earlier, that the students of politics in Barbados, because they've gone on to social media, a lot of the things that would have happened between a period of time have not or will not be known. So now that we are at the point where we can say that there were players, there were people who, you talk about pushing. Pushing in the city meant danger for anybody that came up against Marley. anybody that came up against Marley was in danger, not in danger physically, but in terms of platform rhetoric. When she challenged those speaking on the platform. So if we are supposed to look at the pages of history, a lot of these people seem not to remember Owen T. Alder. And I say this to say that, right? That one of the greatest platform orators in Barbados, Eric Seeley have copied him. Mm-hmm. Several people have copied him. It's Owen T. Alder. Yep. I'm saying this because of living the time and knowing exactly how he took certain people at his footsteps, and he explained to them the rudiments of politics and the presentation on a political platform. But we are faced now with modern-day politics. Mm-hmm. You're not hearing anything about Pablo. You're not hearing anything about Slims. Anything you heard about Slims. Slims was a foot soldier for Tom Adams. And wherever Tom went, Slims went, even to the point of getting on board the aircraft.
Mark, just hold on for me. Don't go away. Just hold on, and we got to take a commercial break, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to Brass Tacks. Mark, are you still there?
I'm here with you.
Yeah, man.
We have a nice conversation.
Yeah, and I want to thank you for raising it, because, you know, one of the things that I keep saying all the time is that it's a pity that people like the St. Clarence Ward and others who were the real foot soldiers, the people who really made it happen for the political parties, the people who really made it happen for the people like Sir Henry Ford, you know, the Grant family in
right.
Hearts Gap,
right.
you know, that's towards right. the strength in Christchurch West. And I can go on and name a few others. These people are not, they're known within the community, but they're not known nationally. You know,
that's right.
and I would really like to see that you can bring all that material together, so that some of these people are highlighted for the work in trying to boost the party. And this is where I think that each political party, they should themselves be keeping that sort of information
research.
And
research.
Doing that sort of research and actually using it to show the younger members. Coming in to the respective party, that they're building on a foundation. There are people there who went before them, and this is the sort of work that they did. You know, and I find one of the problems is that people don't pass on information.
Thank
so
you.
Young people coming in today feel that, you know, the word begins with them.
Thank you. Let me show you what I mean, right? I'm speaking my life. I'm speaking, I live what I'm talking, right? For example, there have been a lot of talk in recent times that women have been overlooked as far as politics is concerned. That is the modern-day person thought. But if they go back to the true history of politics in Barbados, they would realize that almost every politician had a woman behind him as a canvasser. And as
woman?
A
woman? Woman, Mark?
Women. Right? take, for example, a lot of people seem not to remember, and she was a hawker in Bridgetown. She was part of the 37 Reds, a woman by the name of Nicey Belgrave. I believe you must have heard of Nicey
Belgrave. Of course, yes.
Who positioned herself as a hawker in Busby Alley. Then you heard of people of Nellie Weeks who contested but was not successful. You hear about Miss Dish who contested. You hear about Doris. You hear about Norma Weeks. So when people really thought that women were out of politics in Barbados, women were involved in politics, but they were not given the magnitude that was given to the canvassers and to the candidates. So I say that to say this, in getting to what we were talking about this morning, that if the true history of Barbados has got to be spread across for the benefit of the upcoming politician, who only will think of what happened recently, but not realizing that a foundation has been laid. And out of the foundation, I'm coming to the point to say that a lot of people are talking about his Walter Barrow. But in truth and fact, his legacy, from the time he made the decision that his ashes would be spread across the Caribbean, he gave himself to the Caribbean. And if you look within the ranks, because he was a dedicated Caribbean person out of the Shagaramas issue, if you look to what I'm speaking about in relation to the movement through the party have capitalized on his legacy all the time, but they were destroying it. They were eventually destroying the things that he stood for. So what has happened now in 2018? What we see in 2018, that the true legacy of the person has gone by itself over there, because those persons who were supposed to have carried on his legacy completely transitioned themselves to destroy what was cemented and what was done for us between a period of 66, right on to his death. So I did not call this program this morning just to go back into who was. I go to regret the fact that I'm calling, although I've not said anything, I've not heard much of him, I'm calling on the writers of Barbados, the true writers of Barbados, not those persons who write and destroy the early days of Sir Grantley Adams. A lot of them wrote things that were negative of Sir Grantley Adams, but I'm calling the true writers of Barbados, the true political people of Barbados, to give the young folks who are doing political history, who are studying political history, an understanding of the political life of Barbados through the years. Mm-hmm. And I compliment the Nation newspaper for being involved back in the 70s, who was able to go behind the scene and be able to present
All right,
some
Mark.
Of the things that I'm talking about.
All right, thank you, Mark. And I have someone writing here. It just went off my screen. Yeah, women may have been involved in politics in Barbados. However, they have only recently been given the respect and platform they deserve. That's what this person here writes. But I'll say this much. It is not only in politics. And this is the thing that amazes me in this country, you know. When you deal with the church, you're talking with women. When you deal with just simple day-to-day life in communities, it was women. When it came to the schools, it was women. I mean, there have been, as far as I am concerned, here in Barbados, and certainly the other places, but I'm talking about here in Barbados, women have been the backbone of this country and building this country. And I that is why I sometimes wonder when people begin to behave the way they do and to treat women the way they do, if they've got any sort of sense. Because it is based on what our women do. Our mothers, aunts, sisters, cousins, nieces. It is based on what they have done that has made this country really strong. You know, we hear about the men, you know, the men who go out front and they do this and do that. But let me tell you something. They were only able to achieve a lot of this because they had strong women by their side, supporting them and helping them all the way. And, you know, and I am not here knocking men, so don't get me wrong, but I'm just saying that I don't think that enough has ever been really done to promote women in this country the way they should be. That is something that I fundamentally believe in, and who don't like it? Tough. We take a next call. Good morning. You are on the air. It's 11:15.
Mm-hmm. Good morning, Mr. Price.
How are you today, sir?
Hello?
How are you today?
Yeah, I'm good. And you?
I am well.
Well, I'm good.
Is there special women in your life?
Well, always would be. Because women, you're so true and factual. People, I don't get a lot of the gender issues, huh? But you're right and very accurate here. Women, the church. You imagine if you if the women pull away.
They're the church. They're the congregation.
I come into liking you. I come into liking you gradually, but I can tell you, I'm gonna give you what's yours, you know. you're something else, but you're clear. And people talk foolishness about bias and things. I am not saying that. I call a spade a spade. You come into yourself really good. And I like some of the soundness that you expound on as you go along. You play wrong, and the society will crumble if women pull back. It's a fact.
It's a fact.
Yeah, but the people getting a lot of these issues about gender and whatnot. Yeah,
but it's only now, you know, people talking about gender because that's mixed with a lot of other things.
Okay.
But the reality is that women, especially in this country, look, when I was at UE in 1881,
yeah,
as a student, women were the dominant, to use the word, gender at UE University at that time, you know, at University of Western in KFL. Okay?
But
these young women have been trying, and if you look today at our country, if you look, you could hardly find a male teacher.
Yeah.
You could, in the civil, look at the top of the civil servants, see more senior civil servants, right through women. Okay?
It's
think
admirable.
About it. And people, and my difficulty
yeah.
is that people have a, oh, I don't want a woman as a boss. Excuse me. You know? What is the difference, you know?
It's application.
It's about whether the person has the competence to do the job or not, yeah. as far as I'm concerned. Because I prefer a woman who is competent than a man who's an idiot.
All right.
That's the basic. Sorry. Yeah. Let me get off my soapbox. Yeah, you called.
Listen, John Buster.
Uh-huh.
Hello?
Yes.
My main thing is not this, but I'm touching on it as it was highlighted earlier.
Yeah.
I'm one of the strongest proponents on Yellen, and Mr. Johnson would not have said and say yes for the John Buster.
Mm-hmm.
I've been relentless in the call for John Buster. Take, for instance, the amount of persons that filters through the John Buster, let's say X among a hundred, X among a thousand, it had to keep them in one line. It's double up via the John Buster, which means an alleviating of the congestion in the roundabout or on the highway. So I am one of the strong proponents and supporter for John Buster. And there used to be a sign displayed at the entrance there at the John Buster. I went over this so many times. The sign read either lane for, the operative word was for going straight. The John Buster was not for nobody turning right. It was, the sign displayed was either lane for going straight, and it was an exercise orchestrated by the ministry as a trial run for whatever, and it's still here, and it's functional. It is when you get some person that is going right in the left lane, they've got to cross over, that's where the problem comes. But for either lane going straight, two lanes go through and go, it is a point where you meet, and you give to me, it's a common sense thing, you give to me, I give to you, you look at me, look at you, but it's at that point where we understand, and the transition is taken on there, and smooth transition, not behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Always workable, but it's always some stupid person going to the right in the left lane. John Buster can work. Well, I'll say quickly on the, now we're talking about the roundabouts. It is now in this dispensation that we can get, if there was something inconsistent, it can be altered now and put all the roundabouts so that you understand it's one thing applicable at all the roundabouts. That can be done. Is that rocket science, Sir Chief?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what you have to say about that.
Well, no, I'm not going to disagree with you, but I just, there really needs right now to be some, we're getting too many incidents at these roundabouts, and we need to sort of relook at what we're doing. And that's the only point that I would really make on this.
And the next one,
everything has to be, but look, just hold a second.
Yes, please.
No, just hold a second and we'll come right back to you. We just got to take a commercial break. Just so hold on. Don't go anywhere.
Yeah, I won't go anywhere.
Uh-huh.